GlobalCast MD, along with Cincinnati Children's Hospital, sharing knowledge to improve child health around the globe.
Hello, pediatric surgery family. I'm Lizzie Lee from Cincinnati Children's Hospital Medical Center. In October 2022, Cincinnati Children's hosted the Quad Conference, which is a combination of four conferences: the International Organization for Esophageal Atresia, the Aerodigestive Society Conference, the Cincinnati Children's Airway Course, and the Cincinnati Children's Pediatric Dysphagia Series.
Today, Dr. Doug Von Allman, a pediatric ENT surgeon at Cincinnati Children's, will tell us about a new imaging technique, the ultra-short echo time MRI, to measure tracheomalacia in neonates with esophageal atresia.
Our evaluation of tracheomalacia can be tricky in that we're doing this under artificial conditions.
Tracheomalacia is weakening of the airway wall, which collapses the airway lumen during respiration. The gold standard to diagnose tracheomalacia is bronchoscopy.
Even the gold standard of flexible bronchoscopy, we have variations in sedation, the vigor at which they're breathing, which can affect the static imaging.
Ultra-short echo time imaging uses motion tracking to evaluate tracheomalacia. It is less invasive and doesn't use ionizing radiation.
We can do this in neonates without any sedation. You can see here we get really good resolution that allows us to create models like virtual bronchoscopy or this 3D modeling.
There's been lots of theories about why tracheomalacia develops in patients with TEF, tracheoesophageal fistula, and esophageal atresia, or EA, which is a congenital condition where the esophagus ends in a pouch instead of connecting to the stomach.
Faulty division of the foregut suggests changes in the posterior membrane of the trachea that may make it more susceptible to being malasic.
Dr. Von Allman chose to use this new imaging to evaluate TEF and EA patients.
Our long gap esophageal atresia patients are going to have more severe tracheomalacia.
Their results show that long gap esophageal atresia patients have more tracheomalacia than short gap esophageal atresia patients.
We divided the trachea overall into thirds to look at what was going on at difference of the airway. And then we created a really simple measure of eccentricity of the airway.
Tracheal eccentricity refers to how off-center the trachea's position is from where it should be.
Smaller value represents a more eccentric airway, which you can see here.
The period of expiration is the period when you see the most collapse during tracheomalacia.
We took the minimum value during the period of expiration and used that minimum value in each third of the trachea.
They did a retrospective research study, including 26 patients with esophageal atresia.
All these patients had preoperative studies prior to their TEF ligation EA repair, and we had a subset of patients that also had post-op imaging after their repair and ligation.
They looked through the patient's data to compare short versus long gap esophageal atresia. They defined a short gap as those with 2 centimeters or less between the proximal and distal pouch. Everybody else was considered a long gap.
Most of these patients had a distal tracheoesophageal fistula.
The majority of the patients had a short gap esophageal atresia.
A good portion of these patients required at least one steroid or one pneumonia course per year afterwards.
When comparing the short gap to the long gap, they found that along all levels of the trachea, the long gap esophageal atresia patients had a more eccentric trachea.
When we looked back at our bronchoscopy results of these patients, there wasn't a lot of difference in terms of the patients that had significant collapse at greater than 75%.
Then they looked at the patients who had imaging before and after the TEF and EA repair. In the upper third of the trachea, the eccentricity was significantly improved after the repair.
In the distal trachea, the eccentricity got significantly worse after repair, whereas the middle portion of the trachea remained unchanged.
That's probably because there is a dilated esophageal pouch, and once you decompress that, it also relieves the compression on the upper trachea.
Changes in the lower trachea, we suspect that's due to mobilization of that distal segment, ligation of the TEF.
Next, they looked at the patient's respiratory-related readmissions after their NICU stay.
Despite having a significantly longer NICU stay for the long gap esophageal atresia, they were more likely to have respiratory-related admissions.
Their results show that long gap esophageal atresia patients have a higher risk of significant tracheomalacia.
They had a more eccentric or flattened airway along the length of the airway.
After repair, the eccentricity worsened in the distal third of the trachea.
This would suggest that the distal third is an important segment to consider, even if it doesn't look severe when you do your first bronchoscopy.
In summary, ultra-short echo-time MRI effectively evaluates the severity of tracheomalacia without intubation, sedation, or radiation in neonates. Patients with esophageal atresia and tracheoesophageal fistula commonly have tracheomalacia, but more research needs to be done to understand this correlation. Long-gap esophageal atresia patients have more severe tracheomalacia and higher respiratory readmissions. Tracheomalacia worsens in the distal trachea after repair, requiring focused post-operative monitoring.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Stay Current MD YouTube channel. Follow our social media channels and download the Stay Current MD app for tons of content in pediatric surgery. GlobalCast MD, along with Cincinnati Children's Hospital, sharing knowledge to improve child health around the globe.